Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem BPJ Shir number 146. The Spice Pnimi joint Shir number 146. We're talking about 13 things mentally strong couples don't do. The first item is they don't ignore their problems, which we started talking about in the last Shir. The way you address a problem is to first define what the problem actually is. For example, you may say the problem is that your spouse is a slob. But your spouse may say that you're a neat freak, and you know, pointing fingers at each other won't solve anything. So the real problem may be that you have actual different views of how clean a house should be, or you may disagree of who should do the cleaning, or a realistic expectation when you have kids, young kids all over in the house, of what is norm to be messy and not necessarily being healthy to always obsess on having a clean house. So the idea is the balance of it. Sometimes if you feel your spouse is too messy, and you may say there should be more cleaning, or maybe you're too obsessive about a clean house, and then it's important to relax a bit. So the disagreements are not often the problem. It's just a symptom of a bigger issue. For example, if you're fighting about money, it may not be a financial conflict. It may be just simply you have different priorities on how you view money, right? Or if you're talking about that your spouse is irresponsible, but they may have a substance use issue that you're not aware of, or you are aware of, but that's the underlying thing. Or you have an untreated mental health condition, and so on and so forth. So the problem we gave last time is that this wife, Angela, her husband, Carl, wasn't spending quality time together, emotionally connecting over the years. And now that they didn't have children to distract them, their lack of emotional intimacy was amplified. So you reflect on the problem, and then you work through the solution. Now, not every problem is to be solved. And sometimes it's worthwhile to let go. There are solvable problems and problems that are not resolvable, but just rather accepting the unique differences that are between the two of you from different personalities. And some of it is indeed acceptance, not that you're trying to fix a problem per se, but trying to accept and be more adaptable. You know, you're not going to convince each other to change or to value something that you don't value. You have to accept those inherent differences, even the Nashkafa differences. You can't force a person to believe in something they don't believe, or whatever it is. So the key is to talk about how you feel. You don't necessarily have to discuss how things need to change. Sometimes things do need to change, and sometimes things don't, and you just need to accept it more. So you need that actual sit-down conversation. You ask for siyata d'shmaya how to go about it. Sometimes you need outside help. But the idea is that you could address a problem either directly, or in the case that we mentioned in the last shiur with Angela and this Carl, that she addressed the problem without ever saying a single word about it. Now that she acknowledged she had a relationship with someone that they lacked emotional connection over the years because they were focused mostly on the kids. And she took it in her hands to start initiating, spending time together and resolving the problem without even articulating what the problem is to her husband. And that worked out well. And very often that can work out well. Now, the thing is also, it's important to know as a married couple, a problem is not necessarily your fault. It doesn't mean it's not your responsibility. The best solutions in marriage is when both partners, husband and wife, work together, even if it's an individual problem. So let's pick an example of this. Let's say one spouse has, the husband has a condition, whether it's a bipolar disorder, high blood pressure, and he needs to take certain medication for it. That's his refuah, and that's his ishtatlus. So let's say the husband has this. So, and he sometimes forgets to take it or whatever it is. So his wife, even though it's technically not her problem, it's not her responsibility, but she could help along. She gets the glass of water or hands him the pills that he takes for breakfast every day. and he follows it. And basically, the idea is it's very important to know that people will comply more to the medication routine dramatically when their spouse gets involved in a loving way. Not in an obsessive way, yelling, why didn't you take your medications? What's going on? And being, you know, overly obsessive about it. But if you do it in a kind, loving way, and the husband in this case is willing for that, then it's a beautiful thing. And he will, in his own personal recovery or his medication or his protocol, his wife supports him. And even though it's not her problem, but she treats it as if it's our issue, and it's not 50-50. Sometimes she puts in more initiative, but that saves him, and then he reciprocates in other ways. So that's very, very important. The idea is not to stop ignoring problems. Now, sometimes you don't take the direct approach. Sometimes you take an indirect approach. Sometimes you daven for it. Sometimes you maybe ask advice from your mentor before addressing the problem with your spouse, but you don't ignore it. One way to build up courage to address a problem is to write a list of reasons why you should address a problem. So, for example, if it's a financial issue, why should you address it? Because we'll feel more secure once we're out of debt, and it'll be easier for us to resolve that in getting out of debt if we have a discussion about it. Why shouldn't we ignore it? Because our debts will grow larger and the problem will get bigger. So writing these down solidifies your determination to actually deal with the problem. So, or why should I address the problem? Because if we talk about it, we could develop a plan. And if we ignore it, I'll continue to feel resentful. And so on. And so that's when the idea is then when you want to stop ignoring a problem. When you want your spouse to stop ignoring a problem, you also do it in a statement, not using a you statement, but an I statement. For example, instead of saying to your husband or wife, you never spend time with me, try saying it this way with an I. I love for us to spend time together. That will get a lot further than, you know, when you don't place blame on the other person. Because if you just say, you know, you're not spending time with me, it's like it'll be viewed as an attack. Or a wife may say, this is a healthy thing, that I know I nag you about your particular problem, whether he drinks a little too much by a kiddush, or whether he doesn't get up to shul on time, or Shabbos morning, or whatever it is. And she acknowledges she sometimes over-nags him. So she says, I know I nag you about these things. I'm really going to work on changing that. And that really softens things up, and hopefully he will be more inclined to work through it. Or, you know, I feel overwhelmed lately when I look at our bills and see we're falling behind, and I want to work on a plan to address it if you can help me out with it. So, you know, and that's the idea. You don't argue about how each other feels. That's your feelings, and you acknowledge it. If your spouse is telling you you need to stop ignoring a problem, they may think you're overcritical. You may think you're not overcritical. They're just excessively sensitive. But what you could do is when you have a discussion about this, as an example, you could work on it, talk together, and at least agree, let's say, that you won't tease each other. If your spouse doesn't like being teased, you won't tease them, or you validate them even when you disagree. And it's, of course, the healthiest when you both decide we don't want to ignore problems. It takes courage to address that elephant in the room. And you don't wait for your spouse to bring it up first. You sit down and share it. Listening is an excellent place to start, and so on and so forth. In this case that we mentioned with Angela and Carl in the last year, that they never argued. They didn't often argue. They didn't have a tremendous stress in their lives, but she was very, very lonely. And the one thing to feel lonely is when you're alone, but when it's worse to feel lonely when your husband's in the same room with you. And she felt distant from her husband, and they had a chance to turn an okay marriage into a great marriage. Now, in therapy, she once said, part of me is angry for not addressing it sooner, but I'm grateful I didn't wait any longer. That's very, very important. All of us, that we have issues to resolve, and many decades may have even passed by, a lot of time, where we didn't resolve it. Take pride that you're taking care of it now. Don't beat yourself up that you didn't take care of it earlier, but the fact that you're taking care of it now. And remember also this, sometimes it takes so much more energy to dance around the problem than it does to address it. It's such a yesod, that truth. Very often we're trying to skirt around the problem, not addressing it, tiptoeing around it, and that takes so much emotional effort, even more than addressing it, even though it's an uncomfortable issue. Some couples have said they spend years walking on eggshells or pretending they didn't care about something that was troubling them deeply, only to find out later that the solution was a lot simpler than they imagined. So that's very, very important. Timing matters regarding these aspects. And you ask Hashem to help you with that timing. You can't wait for a perfect timing. But obviously, Friday afternoon when things are hectic, that's not when you don't start big, huge discussions about Shalom Bayis issues between a husband and a wife when it's Friday and there's a real race to get everything ready for Shabbos. That's not the right time for it, right? And so you really work on the timing. But the key, really important with this, what people do very often, which we mentioned in other shiurim, is the use of silent treatment, which is a form of manipulation. It can become very emotionally abusive. And that involves avoiding a problem altogether, and you're also punishing the other person in the process. So if, let's say, your husband or wife is giving you the silent treatment, don't trick them into talking to you. But you need to maybe perhaps ask a professional for some help, or at some point address it if that's taking place on your own. But if that's not working, you need to ask professional help. So conversation starters about these things. So, for example, what's a problem we worked so well to address? What is an example of a time that you were happy that we addressed a problem that affected our relationship, or that you addressed a problem that affected the relationship that made us feel better? How did we find the courage to address it? How do we find the courage to address things now? And that's a very, very important. And like she has at the end of this chapter, of course, very often people turn away from each other and don't discuss when they have issues in the bedroom, sexual issues between the two of them. And they often, you know, there may be a hyper-focus in certain issues, but many, many marriages suffer with having a complete pull away from the physical relationship where it stops, and even by young people, and they're ashamed about it, or they blame each other, or they blame trauma, whatever it is, and life passes by. And it's very, very important. It's difficult to talk about this, but we talked about in other shiurim how very, very, it's very important to talk about it, what makes each other comfortable, what makes each other uncomfortable. The mismatch in sex drives, which is so normal. It's normal. It's very common that couples have mismatched sex drives, one high, one low. So it requires a lot of empathy to deal with that and to work with that and to learn the language with each other regarding that. The idea also, like we always said before, you daven for siyata d'shmaya. You know, as you go through this process, you certainly daven for siyata d'shmaya, ask Hashem for help every single step of the way, and then you do your hishtadlus, either directly addressing it with your spouse or at least asking a mentor. It's so important, and you need siyata d'shmaya also, but to find a wise rav that knows the both of you, because sometimes you could talk privately to the rav first. I want to address this with my husband or wife, how to go about it, and that sometimes is a good thing, especially with a rav that they both trust. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu help that this should be continue. This idea of not hiding problems, but facing them, which is a difficult thing to do. We all in life try to avoid it and not deal with it. And that usually doesn't do anyone good. If we address it, even, you know, in the best way possible, it could really heal and enhance our lives in general and in our marriages in particular. Bracha v'atzlacha.